Dan Olmsted is the editor and founder of theageofautism.com, the very latest about autism, the politics, the science, everything you need to know. Dan joins us on the long line. Dan, how are you?
I'm good, Coy. How are you?
Very good. Well, I'm sort of marveling at the fact that it's so hot outside. I mean, it's like July, you know, late August at least, and it's almost Halloween.
It feels great here, too. I almost want to start using the fire. I turned it on the other morning, and then I realized I was overheating, so I turned it off real quick.
Yeah, I mean, the leaves are falling and changing colors a little bit at least, and it's time for a campfire and a fire and, you know, 80 degrees outside.
It is. Good. I couldn't agree with you more.
Goodness gracious. Hey, Dan, what is this? What's the latest on the MMR vaccine? And first, tell us why we're even talking about vaccines when, you know, you write an autism blog.
Well, you know, the issue of whether vaccines are implicated in the autism epidemic is probably the most controversial topic in health in our country. And I'd say it seems to be getting more so despite the efforts of a lot of mainstream doctors and organizations to basically shut that discussion down. But you know, as evidence of how hot it is, Jenny McCarthy has a new book, Warrior Mothers, which is number 6 I saw in my New York Times yesterday on the bestseller list, which is really amazing because her whole book is based on the idea that at least in her case, her son Evan regressed into autism after getting the MMR shot at age 1. And, you know, as she has talked to parents around the country, she's found lots and lots of parents of kids with autism who feel the same way and who have begun using treatments that are not necessarily, you know, approved or prescribed by doctors to help them. And these are not, in most cases, really even potentially harmful things. They're like slight changes in diet and supplements, and then there are some other issues that are more controversial, like chelation, which is an attempt to get mercury out of the body that may have been part of the original cause of the regression, because, as you know, there's mercury in vaccines, and it's still in the flu shot. So it's heating up. It's still hot outside, and it's hot in the autism debate.
We're talking with Dan Olmsted. The website is theageofautism.com. It's based on a series of investigative pieces that Dan wrote as a nationally recognized UPI reporter, is now the editor and founder of this blog, which is the main website on the internet for information, the very latest information about autism. So, Dan, what is the MMR vaccine, and what's the latest news on that?
Well, the MMR is mumps, measles, and rubella is just the name for German measles. So it's three viruses, you know, mixed into one shot. The idea is that you can give it all at once, and you know, you won't miss the child won't miss getting them because they miss their next visit. It's been used for about 20 years in this country. Interestingly enough, it was moved up from about 15 months to 12 months about a decade ago because mothers who had been given the first round of measles shots when they first became available were not giving their kids as much maternal immunity to measles. So the kids have to get the shots earlier, and there's some concern that the earlier a child gets a vaccine, especially a multiple virus vaccine and especially live viruses, the more potential damage there could be to the immune system, which is not fully developed, or to the neurological system. And there was just a story that we have posted on our site right now where a one-year-old child will get $250,000 from the government. It goes to the parents because their daughter actually died. Her name was Madison Williams, and she had gotten the vaccine, and 6 days later she got very sick and died. And there's not much question the vaccine caused the death. The only question becomes this cost-benefit ratio and whether, you know, there is a necessity for some kids to pay a price so that you know, most kids can be protected. And, you know, my feeling on that is no, that we can find a safer way to do this.
Dan Olmsted is the editor at theageofautism.com. Why is it, and I'm one of the parents that wonders, I have a lot of questions about vaccines, number one. A lot of people know that. But specifically about the MMR, I wonder, why is it, number one, that you have to give it so early, and why is it that it's required that so many be in one shot? Why can't they sort of space it out?
Well, you know, I think there are certainly arguments that are made for why you have to give it so early. I mean, one reason is so that kids, you know, don't get these illnesses, that if they could be protected from them sooner in life. Again, there's this issue of this maternal immunity, which is fading away because the previous generation of mothers, you know, got the vaccine instead of the actual measles, and so they're not protecting their kids as well, which I think is pretty interesting. And then mixing well in one shot, that's the big one, because, as you know, there's a huge debate over in England involving a doctor, Andy Wakefield, who thinks that kids who get that multiple vaccine oftentimes get inflammatory syndrome in their GI tract that then causes all kinds of problems that leads to autism. And part of that is because these viruses are interacting in ways that, you know, we don't understand. For example, in the real world, kids usually don't get mumps, measles, and German measles on the same day.
Exactly,
but they
yes,
do get
thank
the vaccine.
You.
And so the argument is, why can't you space them out over at least a few months, separate them out of there, you know, cut down on any possible risk? And the government has been very, very adamant that they're not going to consider that.
Dan, haven't physicians found that these kids who get the MMR, that some of these kids actually have these live viruses growing in their guts, and they can sort of connect them genetically and see this is the exact same strain? I mean, there's no question that this illness in their gut came from the vaccine.
Right. I mean, that's very controversial. There have been some studies, like Andy Wakefield, that found that, and then some other studies that replicated that finding, which, of course, is very important in science. There was just another study that did not find that connection, but has been criticized pretty severely for what I think are legitimate limitations in it. I mean, I don't think the scientists were trying to get it wrong, but I think they ended up with not very convincing evidence. But I, you know, don't forget too that on your 1 year well baby visit now, and it's not just the MMR, it's also the chickenpox vaccine that kids are supposed to get on that very day. So now we're talking four live viruses in a child who I think anyone would say their immune system was not fully developed. And I think it's an avoidable risk. It's not as though, I don't think you and I, Claire, are saying, oh, you know, measles, mumps, rubella, chickenpox, let's bring them all back. Let's bring polio back. I mean, these are bad things. And, you know, some of them are not as bad as others. Chickenpox is not probably worth even having a vaccine for. But measles I can see and that sort of thing. But why, oh, why must we be so aggressive and relentless and inflexible in the way that we, try to protect our kids from infectious disease?
Yeah, and what we're talking with Dan Olmsted, theageofautism.com. What upsets me so much is that so many of this vaccine schedule was determined by lobbyists at pharmaceutical companies, doctors who lobby for pharmaceutical companies and figure out, you know, what's the fastest way to get this into them in terms of our bottom line profit, and we're going to require the government that is going to make it a law that these people have to buy our product. And
right.
To question the vaccine schedule, to question vaccines, for so many doctors, they instantly just hear you being against vaccines, which I'm not personally. My kids got all their vaccines. But I think
right.
It is very sensible as a parent and as a citizen in a free country to say, well, wait a minute. You know, just in terms of big government here, is this the smartest way to do this? Is it the healthiest way to do it? Is it the most sensible way to do it? And I think for a parent today with a baby to walk into a doctor and say, just give me the regular vaccine schedule, I think that is incredibly dangerous and naive.
Well, if you go back 20 years or so, and these charts are available at places like GenerationRescue.org, and look at the schedule then, you know, we were still protecting kids from the worst of these diseases. There was the MMR. There was the diphtheria, pertussis, tetanus shot. There was a polio vaccine. But there weren't, you know, hepatitis A and hepatitis B and pneumococcal and chickenpox and the flu shot and for pregnant women. And so I think you have to ask yourself, I mean, 20 years ago, were you know, babies dying right and left of infectious diseases? I mean, they were not. So I think one possibility and one thing that some groups have endorsed is let's just turn back the clock to when we did not have this autism epidemic, but we were still protecting our kids from these diseases, and let's start there and see what happens.
Yeah, absolutely. It was that period between 88 and 92, I think, when the shots went from about, you know, a regular kid in the regular vaccine schedule went from about 8 shots to about 3 times as many, well over 20 shots in the space of about 4 years, and coincidentally or not, that's about the time the autism epidemic started.
Well, and again, you know, I think it's no secret that a lot of those shots that they added were full of mercury, and especially toxic form called ethyl mercury. And there's simply no question that mercury can cause, you know, you call them neurodevelopmental delays or brain damage or whatever you want to call it. But mercury, you know, which is used as a preservative in those vaccines so that they can use multi-dose vials, which is frankly cheaper for the pharmaceutical companies, that is unconscionable in my opinion. And the fact that it's still in the flu shot, and, you know, everybody, now you can basically get your flu shot, you know, driving in at McDonald's, and it's, you know, in most cases got a whopping dose of mercury in it, which is terribly, terribly toxic. These things don't make a lot of sense to a lot of us, I have to say.
Yeah, and what's amazing to me is they still get on the radio and the TV and say, you know, flu shots for, you know, pregnant mothers and kids, and they never say, oh, by the way, in every flu shot, there's 25 micrograms of ethyl mercury, which is a poison, and so many people will go and get their flu shots and say, gosh, I felt horrible after my flu shot.
Right.
I guess, you know, and it's like, well, you know, of course you did. There's poison in there.
Right. Well, here's what I don't get. I mean, think about this. In 1999, the CDC, the FDA, the American Academy of Pediatrics, counted up the amount of mercury in shots and said, oops, that's too much for little kids. Please, manufacturers, remove it as soon as possible from all of your shots. And yet, at the same time, they increased the recommendation of coverage for the flu shot, you know, all pregnant women, kids as young as 6 months, and did not do a thing get the mercury out of those shots when they could have. I mean, manufacturers basically said, we can get it out of there, and the CG said, oh, don't worry, you know, that's not that big a deal. So if you're looking for something suspicious or something that doesn't make any sense, I would say start right there and try to figure out what in God's name these folks are thinking.
Absolutely. Dan Olmsted, former UPI reporter, investigative journalist, one of the nation's best. He is now the founder and the editor at theageofautism.com. Dan, I'm curious, what are you hearing on the comment pages from readers of your blog? What are some of the hot issues right now?
Well, politics. We've tried to some extent to moderate in both senses, you know, the political issue, because you know, both candidates have said interesting things about autism, and yet, if you know, it's a very passionate election, and people who are for Obama can't imagine why anyone would even consider McCain, and yet John McCain has less pharmaceutical money than Obama's gotten and has been more emphatic about the possibility that thimerosal, this vaccine mercury, is connected. Both of them have said that they would sort of order a top-to-bottom review of the science that they feel has been sort of perverted in the Bush era, which would include the science of vaccines. Obama said he was against selective vaccination, which a lot of people don't like hearing. And so it's an interesting question. Some people are one-issue voters when it comes to autism, and in that case, they might go for McCain. Others think that given the other topics that you know, they feel so strongly about, such as you know, abortion rights, that would be a big mistake. So I'm glad this election is going to be over soon.
Dan Olmsted, theageofautism.com is the website, and I strongly recommend it for the very latest on autism, the politics, the science, everything you need to know. Dan, always look forward to it. Thank you so much, my friend.
Thanks, Corey. Talk to you soon.